Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrne, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrne Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed.
This week's podcast is about two plants, a fern, and a Christmas or Thanksgiving cactus, I haven't decided which, and a strange collection of ephemera. The fern originally resided in the bay window over my sink. Periodically, I would divide it. However, last spring was such that I didn't get to it. I knew from sad past experience that if I tried to divide the plant too late in the season, it wouldn't do well. So I let it go. In August sometime, though, the fern made it clear that it had run out of space. I couldn't stand at my kitchen sink without fronds hitting me on the head or trying to work their way into my nostrils. I also noticed that the kitchen was getting quite dark. Darker than I would expect just because the days were getting shorter. I realized this was because the fern now took up so much space it was blocking out one of the major light sources in that area. But it was too late to divide it, and it was too big to move anywhere except up the narrow stairway to my bedroom. And the only place I could put it up there, where there was enough light, involved moving the Christmas or Thanksgiving cactus down the steep staircase to the kitchen. But one does what one must do. The nice thing about the fern is that in spite of its bulk, it was relatively light. Also, fronds tend to be pretty accommodating in narrow stairwells. They just kind of folded back. The Thanksgiving Christmas cactus was a different matter. It's a sprawling plant, and although it's called a cactus, it isn't a true cactus. It's what botanists call a zygocactus. They don't live in deserts. They live in tropical areas of Central and South America. They don't grow in sand. They're epiphytes. They grow in the debris that gathers in crooks of branches. The good news about that is that it doesn't take a whole lot to keep them going. On the other hand, it does mean that they're tropical plants. And as they spread, their new growth tends to be relatively fragile. Consequently, I knew I either had to trim the cactus back or let the narrow stairwell do it for me. I opted to do it by choice in hopes that this would enable me to salvage as much of the plant as I could. I wrestled it down to the kitchen and into the bay window and assumed it wouldn't bloom until next year. I wasn't even sure that it would bloom at all, but I prepared myself for the worst. Consequently, when I started to notice those little pink nubs at the end of November, I was delighted. The little pink buds kept appearing, and pretty soon they started to bloom. The third component in this saga involves a collection of odds and ends that used to reside under the fern. These include some rocks that the grandkids picked up and nicely donated to me as gifts. There's a small piece of petrified wood in there, also found on the property. There's a ceramic frog given to me by my kid's dad, years and years and years ago. And also a tiny Star Wars figure, Yoda to be exact, given to me by my youngest son when he had outgrown it and he thought that perhaps I needed Yoda's help more than he did. They all resided together under the fronds, and consequently, most people didn't notice them. After I moved the fern upstairs, I kept them in the kitchen, and now they were under the Christmas cactus. Because I was so used to them being there, I completely forgot about them until a friend came by, looked toward the cactus from across the room, and said, "Oh, you have a nativity scene under your Christmas cactus." At first I had no idea what she was talking about, but then I started to laugh, took her over for a closer look, and noted that if it was a nativity scene, it was kind of a strange one. But ever since that happened, I've been thinking about it. And in some ways, this is a sacred collection. It connects me with the land. It connects me with history, ancient history. It connects me to loved ones. It connects me to the animal life in the form of that frog. And it connects me to a little bit of magic. And to have all of that under a Thanksgiving Christmas cactus, to me there's a message in there. I've yet to figure out exactly what it is. All I know for sure is that it's a special one.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries, and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore, by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Catova Arts, www.catova.com.